Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, sleepers, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian takes a prisoner, Raoul finds burning papers, Squash is shocked by Daichin's choices, and Sultana worries about Laffian losing it. With Daichin gone, the team investigate the lair and find a collection of very interesting books. Adet, the Gifter of Hell, is also the bearer of bad news as he reveals that they are closer to the apocalypse than they had imagined. However, Adet is also dedicated to taking the team for some well-earned R&R. How can they use the anchor against Daichin? Is there a gentleman's dueling club for deities? And what is Daichin trying to do with the planes? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
Laughing as Squash, you hear a very tiny knock on the door.
A tiny knock, you say?
How tiny?
Just like a really gentle tapping. Like they're trying not to wake anyone, but if anyone is awake, they'll hear it.
Is it morning?
They're just trying to be... It's not. It's probably... Actually, no. Let's say it's about 6 in the morning. Like the sun is beginning to like come through like the window. It's beginning to like cast like really bright lines across the room. So it's kind of a little hard to see. Laffian, if you want to be mid meditation, that's entirely up to you. Squash, whether you're actually awake or not, is entirely up to you.
He probably would be mid meditation then, because I need 4 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
In which case you're probably kind of aware but also oblivious. Does that make sense? Like, in a periphery, it's going off like a dream. Like, yeah, there's someone knocking on the door. I'm sure it'll be fine. We're on a god island. Who cares?
I'm going to say that Squash had, like, grabbed a couple of papers and, like, thrown them on the bed and was lying reading them, and he'd probably fallen asleep trying to force himself to read boring, weird papers out of spite the wood staging was not a motivator enough.
Learning because of spite. Yay. That's healthy.
Yeah, Squash just, like... pops his head up and like, 1 second. And he just kind of like crawls out of the bed, tries to step on as few papers as he can before he opens the door.
You're not sure if it's Grimshaw Demi, but they are standing there.
Oh. Come in. We've got papers. We've got things to read.
Right. Yes, papers. Okay. Yeah, Grimshaw mentioned that you had found things and that they probably had magic on. Hi, Laffian. Oh, is he meditating or is he just asleep?
Hello. Sorry, I was meditating.
No worries. Do you want me to leave? I know I'm like super loud, though. I can probably do this outside or on the beach or something. Although I do kind of super need to sleep, so maybe I'll just go find a place. Maybe I'll just go find somewhere place to sleep and I'll catch up with you guys tomorrow or today. Later today, I guess that could be the answer.
That's fine. Squash, you appraise them what? About the thing I told you with the...
And yeah, I'm, yeah.
Okay.
I'll take care of that, yeah. And Squash just kind of leaves the room and goes outside with Demi.
Back to me.
Are you bringing the papers with you? Or
No, he's just going to catch her up and then he's going to let everybody go to sleep. Squash is not going to try to go back to studying. Hey Demi, sorry, I fell asleep while reading through the notes.
It's okay, I'm very super much there also. I'm like very, 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 very tired because I think I've kind of been awake for two. I think Grimsh kept my body awake the night before when you guys arrived, so I'm operating on basically nothing, and I'm very fumy right now, so if you can make it like super succinct and to the point, I would very much appreciate that before I go pass out somewhere, either in like the sand or one of these huts or in like a hammock or something.
Just head over whatever hut is Grimsh's, and you can lie down there. I'll tell you on the way. So Daejin had been studying how to break apart the planes, and he was trying to create like little pockets where everybody was separated from everybody else.
But he didn't do that.
No, he managed to separate us and the Stalking and Bellum from everybody else. Yeah. So I think either he didn't have enough. So he had a bunch of god stuff. He had Savaris's shards. He had Sultana's blood. I think Laffian thinks that he was probably using that as fuel for the spell components. I know magic
Well,
works.
Yeah, if you're going to be casting a spell that probably hasn't been cast before, you either need to sacrifice a lot because it's going to be some sort of chaos magic, or you're going to need something exceptionally, exceptionally powerful to like basically give it the oomph that it needs to, I'm sorry, I'm very, very tired. The oomph that it needs so that you can actually cast the spell. Like, it's a big sacrifice, a very powerful thing, and like the blood of a goddess to be is pretty powerful, and also like the remains of a god who ascended and then has also recently died, probably also pretty powerful things. And from what I picked up when we were dropping off just now, like the kind of globby thing that was like separating the two realities or two planes or whatever it was that they ended up making, like that is also very, very, very powerful. But I wasn't really paying that much attention about what the name of it was. I probably should have been, but I couldn't hear everything.
It was weird. So wait, you can use powerful items to make the magic sacrifice?
Yes and no. So kind of yes and no. It completely depends on the item and the kind of spell that you're casting. So if like the first time that, you know, fire has been turned into the basis of like a miniature version of you, there's a complete replica except like 1 foot tall instead of 3 foot tall, like that would probably require a little bit less of a sacrifice. You could probably use something like I don't know, like probably just a shard of Savaris, like just a really tiny little bit that may possibly do, or a tiny drop of blood from an avatar, like maybe that will do. But when you're kind of splitting planes, you're going to need something that is way bigger. Like you're talking like either a lot of blood, or you're talking about exceptionally magical items that kind of belong to gods themselves or to the sentinels themselves, because apparently there are some of those relics also floating around. So that's also a thing you could probably also do. Or yeah, there's some really powerful magic things out there that could probably deal with the bigger magical unknown spells, but they're really difficult to get hold of and very, 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 very rare. That basically, it's not exactly impossible to do it, but we kind of write it off as a possibility because it's so difficult to get hold of.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I thought you could only bargain with your own body and reality. I didn't know you could bargain with other physical items.
Yeah, because like let's imagine like
What am I imagining? What did you just imagine?
Wait, well, no, I'm No, this is V laughing.
Shut oh, okay.
Yeah, cue the jazz music. Cue the jazz music.
So, did your parents ever tell you, like, I'm sorry, did like when you were young, did you ever hear the, like the story, the idea of like the dragon tree?
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember my parents reading that childhood story to me.
Yeah, so they're like leaves and sap and like branches from that, and they're like very, very powerfully magic because like they were kind of like created by the gods, and then they apparently made dragons. That's actually very, very, very not true, but they are also equally very powerful. Like having something from that would be probably enough to create like a small plane or to like separate our plane from all the other planes, stuff like that. They are so unbelievably powerful. You could use that to we theorize even like cast wish, but that's not getting hold of that is basically impossible because that kind of belongs in like Miracle's like tiny little death realm, and nobody really. Well, you guys have been there. I mean, you did the thing, but like...
Ah, right. So, yeah, we saw the dragon leaf tree. We reclaimed some of that to bring back Monarch.
Aemma.
Sorry.
Am I the tired one or are you the tired one?
We're both very tired. You're more tired than me, but... So...
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, so that's what these books seem to be about. They're about this, like, planetary creation. I guess Dajin assaulted Carson to steal his stuff?
Well, from what I figured out from what Carson was saying is, like, he realized that a bunch of very powerful things have been stolen, including, like, the blood, including the Shavash shards. He said that there was a gem over in one of his Kino stores that had been stolen, and all the people around there had been killed, so nobody could see anything. Anyway, he ended up hunting those items down by finding out that there was also a missing alchemist stone, which came from these, like, two really nice people who had used to be on Kino and were actually now on Discora, and that had been stolen from. So he hunted that down, and then he got caught, but he kept the alchemist stone safe. So nobody knows where it is except him, and he's going to keep it that way.
Okay, that's good.
Except maybe if I need to borrow it in a couple of days if you want to make another web of creation, because, hey, that moon is, like, way bigger than it should be, and I think we've lost, like, 5 days of time or something. I think Grimsh was filling me in, and I'm not entirely sure. So, like, we have an option of making that in a few days. So he said he might lend it to us, but he might not because he's, like, very uncomfortable with the whole situation, and he wants to make sure that nobody has access to really super powerful magic stuff right now because he does not want to get screwed, I think. Also, he's really, really angry.
Who, Carson or Grimsh?
Yes.
you moved
Sultana
from...
is right.
I think Squash is looking up. Are the stars back?
On your perception. The stars are back, but there's a lot less of them than what you would have remembered as like a kid, for example. Like, they are going out.
They were completely gone when we were close to the lair, right?
Correct, yes. When you were separated from the planes, but now the planes are back together. The stars are there, but they are disappearing.
Yeah, Squash just breathes a sigh of relief. And like, okay. They haven't ruined everything yet. Tomorrow morning, let's go through those papers and see if we can...
You mean later today, not tomorrow morning, because tomorrow morning like, I probably need to have you guys on the other plane, so, like,
yes.
Sorry.
Later today, let's go through those papers and let's see if we can do something that will prevent Dayton from splitting the worlds again.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
If we can just set up some kind of a wedge, some kind of a big old fuck off wall that won't let him do that again, that would be really good.
So this is Grimsh. This is me.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Do you know if anybody's in any of the other ones? I'm assuming not. I'm just taking that one.
You can come inside if you want.
Yeah?
I mean, it's not the first. She looks, like, really, like, flush.
Yeah, that would be nice. I do actually have something I wanted to show you. And Squash reaches into his pocket, and he brings out a flower he picked close to Dajin's lair. Is it missing its
right,
colors?
Right, okay. Yeah.
This is a Laura Lily. They're usually very, very colorful, and you can actually kind of see the weirdness of the grayscale that it's cast itself. But everything around Dajin's area was like black and white, lacked colors. And
yeah, I remember.
I thought it was very interesting to see a flower that is usually just so, so colorful, just completely black and white. I just thought it was very unique.
She kind of like really gently takes it and she kind of like opens the door and she says, it is. It's really pretty. Thank you. I don't have anything. I have anything to give you.
You're busy with Grimms 99% of the time. I don't think he lets you stop and smell the flowers, does he?
No, not really. I also have to wear shoes. Like, I lost a bet and now I have to wear shoes all the time and it's super horrible.
Whoa, what bet did you lose?
Well, I kind of made a bet on, like, how far I could cast a certain spell, and I was, let's say, a foot or two out, and I swear it's because Grimsh moved it, but I'm not entirely sure, but I honor my bets. We were chasing someone down, like...
I bet you he cheated.
Yeah. I mean, that's not quite the whole story, but yeah.
He cheated a lot?
No. Just, there's more to that story, but, I guess that's between Crimson and me.
Yeah.
All right. She kind of, like, sits on the bed and, like, lays back, and it's probably not even, like, before her head hits the pillow. Like, she's already snoring.
It's been a long day, hasn't it? It's been a long... long year. I think Squash just crawls up on the bed, just tries to make himself like small and not in the way.
There's plenty of room. All right. Seems like a good place to leave them at that. Who wants to go first?
Roll off.
Welcome to an actual beach episode. We're actually on a beach.
Know what that means.
I rolled a one. Who's next?
What dice did you even roll to roll a one?
He rolled a one.
I rolled 20. A 20. There were 20 options and I rolled one.
Yeah, well,
go for it, Rolls. You want to roll?
So check that shit out. Get out of my way.
No, no one wants to go. We're just trying to roll with...
Of course. Somehow, the one time it matters. Or it doesn't matter, I should say.
Oh, this matters. This
does
matters.
It?
Oh, as soon as I go, everybody else's beach just ruined.
Why are you ruining our beach episode?
No. So the beach episode is going to be split into tiny little pieces. So all the things that we have discussed about let's do this on the beach episode and some of the things I have put to side view, some of it is time related. So some things will happen in the evening and some things will happen about midday when you've had a long enough rest. I'm not going to require the full 8 hours to get a good rest. You are on like mod/god island. So let's say however long you sleep, you'll get a full night's rest.
Thank you.
That will clear your exhaustions. So we'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Ral, I require you to please make your morning roll.
You know.
You are cleared of exhaustion. Don't even try that on Val.
Am I? We'll see.
Yes,
right now.
You are. Let's see if you gain another one.
I am. I did realize after ending the last episode that I did my one mistake I'm not supposed to do and run off and sleep alone. So here I am rolling a d4.
You got it.
It's a two.
Woo, you're right. Fine.
I have no exhaustion.
Whoop. You are exhaustion three. You are acid free. Okay. All right. Let me bring up notes for Ral. When you wake up, the sun is streaming in. It is a nice warm feeling. It is. As those of you who are waking up this day, you'll realize that the day is very, very, very hot. It is one of those, like, you'll want to sit in the shade, you'll want to put suntan lotion on. Like, it's a hot day. It is unseasonably warm for winter. Winter, you still sometimes have, like, sunny days, but today is grim. It's, like, very, very hot. But there is a nice, like, flow of air through the tiny little hut you're in. And it's probably like a minute or two later after you fully come round, you start feeling like in your chest, you start feeling like another thud just right next to yours. And then you hear a knock on the door and then it swings open and you see that Emer is standing there along with a somewhat smaller red dragonborn.
Emer?
Val!
What are you doing?
And she runs over and jumps on the bed and basically Ross jumps on top
so
of you
confused.
And starts like nuzzling you.
Hi, how did you get here?
Emil. Emil brought us. He brought us and he brought me, and this is our friend who needs a patron. Hang on.
I thought you were going to say who needs a patron. I was like, we're making a warlock randomly in the middle of the fucking game? What are you doing?
Yes, we are going to make a warlock. No, we're not. That's not what is happening.
You said that... What was this... this dragonborn? Is this dragonborn?
Yep.
A red. Yep. Tiny little red dragonborn.
So there is a smaller red dragonborn.
Tiny.
No, smaller,
like
as in
maybe
younger.
Maybe a foot tall.
stop. Ethel. Meet your daughter. Hello. No. This is... I made egg. Step two. Step three, have baby. No, that's not what happened.
What was the drunk fire, the phoenix's name?
Jen.
Jen. Hatched. Congratulations.
Jen. I think there was an S.
All right. Let me just type her name out in a way that it makes sense to me.
I was trying to remember on, Jen's name, and Jen Kisser kept coming to my head. And I was like, no.
That's fair. No, that's for another time. Which, incidentally, has arrived in Discora. I'm so stoked.
Jen Kisso is your adoptive son.
So this is Yasrena, and they wanted to spend a little bit more time with me. And when Emil came and said, like, hey, we could come meet you because things are happening and he can help me do the thing that I'm doing, Yasrena asked if they could join us. And they wanted to talk to you a little bit because I think they need a little bit of help adjusting to, like, everything, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It's obviously kind of warm, so stay in the shade.
Yes, Rena is basically like wearing, who comes from Library Cat, thank you, basically wearing like not really much at all. They're basically wearing a like a pair of shorts and like just kind of like a really thin t-shirt. But they're not wearing any shoes or anything else. Nothing is dark colored to like attract more light or anything. And there's obviously like burn marks like all over like their hands and like their kind of like upper arms sort of thing. And the same, like, around their nostrils, you see his obvious burn marks. And you see them just, like, nod, and, like, she takes a step into, like, the porch area so that you can no longer see her, but that's where the kind of more of the shade is.
Yeah, Rob hugs Emma, of course, they've probably been hugging. And
yes.
We'll then go up, because Rawl knows this person, right? Like, Rawl's...
Yeah, it's one of, yeah, okay. it's definitely one
yeah,
of the Dragonborn
yeah,
kids,
is
yeah.
This a new person.
No.
So Rawl will go over and give them a hug as well. And
they kind of like, as you go to hug them, they kind of like take a little bit of a step back. And she says,
I'm sorry. I don't want to accidentally burn you.
Oh, it's okay.
Hi.
Hi. Rawl will kind of hold his hand out instead.
Yasrena, like, she reaches out and she says,
my name's Yasrena. My friends call me Rena.
Hi. I remember.
It's a really pretty place here.
Yes. Different than Demeriasa.
Definitely different. It was a lot easier for me there. I think today might be a bit of a bad day.
Is this a place where the water is kind of cool? Or is the water super warm?
I guess you haven't tried yet. But the guests maybe, yeah, being that Claus and Tio, when they came back, were just saturated in water, and like the pooling water underneath Claus, underneath its like mottled fur, it's like it was kind of like cool. Yeah. So you take from that whatever you like.
Well, we could try maybe going to the water, more comfortable, and you know.
Okay. She like very like quickly just like begins to walk out, and Eamon just like puts her arm around your waist, and like she kind of like half drags you, runs you in towards the water. Renna kind of like steps into the water, and like you can see her jump back a little bit. It is obvious that this water is cold, like really icy cold, compared to at least the temperature around you. Yeah, and she dives in and like goes for like a good swim. And she says,
"The water is really nice. It's a little cold for you, maybe, but
I'll be okay. I'll just sit down here."
And Rawl kind of goes to a bit more of a shallow, you know.
Yeah.
Sits down.
Eamon just goes into the water. Yeah. Like, she's also a fire dragon. Yeah. So she's just like, yes, this is the best. Like, she throws all of her clothes and just dives straight in the water. Like, this is great for her. And you see her and Renna just like splashing about in the waves. And you see the girl kind of like from a very shy, nervous thing and very like withdrawn. Like, she seems to be having a little bit more fun. But as soon as she decides to like leave the water, because it's like a good amount of time that she's been in there, she just comes and sits next to you as Eamon just kind of like lays back and just like, you know, right in that shallow area. She just like lies back and just like,
this is okay. This is the kind of water that I can deal with. It's just like a bath. Nothing more than that. This is fine.
This is a cold bath, Eamon.
Yes, it is just a cold bath. It is okay. This is okay. Much, much deeper water, not okay. This tiny bath, this is okay. Just tell me it is a bath.
It's a bath. You like your bath cold. That's fine. It's cold.
Renna turns to you and she says,
"You asked us to do homework."
Yeah. Do you have any idea of what you might want to do? It's, you know, no pressure, of course. I just want to help.
It's just everybody else wanted to be like they wanted to be a fighter, or they wanted to be a farmer. They wanted to learn magics or be a healer. I don't want to do any of those things. I don't think maybe it is worth doing for me. I don't know what I would add to everything.
What is it?
I want to play the cello.
That's fine.
I tried that meditation thing that you taught everyone, but it doesn't work for me. I just get frustrated that I can't keep the music out of my head, and I get angry, and then I get stressed, and it makes everything worse. I just want to play music. But everybody else wants to be helpful to society, and is playing music enough?
I have to check. I'm going to cut this out. Elise is the one that plays the flute, right?
She can play the lute, but she's also a belly dancer. That's her like her main trait as bard.
Okay. Is she still alive?
Elise is here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to see. You look back and you can see like Elise and Tuck just like sitting
here
on like the rocking chairs outside of their hut in the shade. They're like, they're not going out into the sun. It's way too fucking hot.
I'm giving Neil today, so.
I'm giving Neil all the dividends because like a lot of people from Sultana's past just randomly dropped dead in the show.
No, they didn't. Everyone is alive. What is wrong with you guys?
I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't remember anything.
That's fine. No, you look back and you can see like the pair of them back there.
Okay. I think that that's more than fine. In fact, the Dragonborn may not have figured it out, but you know, there are many ways to be helpful with that kind of thing. I could introduce you to someone.
Introduce me to who?
You see them over there?
Uh-huh. The gnome and the dwarf.
Yes.
It's dwarf, right? She's a dwarf.
Yes, yes, Elise is a dwarf, yes.
No, okay.
I thought he was a halfling.
Got this.
I thought Tuck was a halfling.
Uh-oh.
Are you sure?
Don't start this halfling thing with me.
He's a gnome. He's a gnome.
Okay.
He's a gnome.
All right.
That's where Zoltana, that gnomish, right?
We can't keep doing this. The dwarf? She has... She's very good at the flute and does magic with it. It's very helpful. Comes to fights with us and it's very helpful.
I don't think I want to fight.
That's okay. You don't have to fight.
I think a cello might be too big to take into a fight.
You don't have to fight. I understand that their focus is a lot on stories. That seems fun.
I can tell stories. I can sing a little bit. Everybody else wants to be productive. I just want to make music. You don't think that is a waste of my time?
I don't think that's useless at all. I want to be a fighter and, you know, like everyone else. And then I was one and... Now I kind of don't want to be. So I kind of get it.
What do you want to be?
I don't know. I've done a lot of things already.
Amos said that you used to busk when you were in...
Yeah.
Falsum for the first time.
Yeah, I kind of just started... I always like to make people happy, you know. And... I did end up fighting, but, you know, I did enjoy it. It was kind of like they were, you know, happy with me fighting. I think I just like making people happy, so I get that.
What did you play?
I just did drums and tapped, you know. It was kind of simple, but I got pretty good at it. But people kind of... The tail was kind of a novelty to people around here. You could do a little extra beat with it.
Yes.
People seemed to think it was neat.
It seems like the temple in Falsum, the place where we are staying, there are a lot of people with tails. But it seems like the ones who live on the surface mostly, it is new for them. But I think that they will get used to it. I guess used to people not having tails. Isn't that very strange?
It is strange.
How do they keep balance?
I don't know.
Well, maybe if I get good at the cello and you don't think that it is a waste. Maybe
not a waste.
We could be like a two-person dragonborn band and you could play the drums while I play the cello.
That sounds fun. Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a cello?
I do. I used to play a little bit in Dimerius, but obviously when I came here, I couldn't take that with me. It was too big.
Yeah.
But Ama managed to get one. She asked me not to ask where she got it from, so...
Oh. Well, exchanges a glance at Ama and isn't going to ask either.
Ama's still like...
but probably still, like, can kind guess. Of like... That it's stolen.
Yeah, Ava's still like kind of like floating in the ocean, but she kind of like waves a hand when she hears her name being mentioned. Like, you can tell that she's breathing. She's trying to like focus on not being scared of like being in like the ocean. But like, yeah, she's just kind of like lying in the kind of the surf. But yeah, when she hears her name, she kind of like thumbs up like, yeah, I am okay.
Yeah. We can figure it out. We can get you something for now that you can't burn. And then, you know, later you can really figure out.
That would be good.
We can make a difference.
You said it was the dwarf lady over there who does music and magic and stuff.
Yes, we can go and introduce you. And we don't have to run that scene, but we can go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she stands up and smiles, and she basically says, okay, I'd like to meet her now, if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
And then, yeah, the pair of you and Ama just, like, realizes that you guys are gone. She's like, oh, no, I'm in the water. No, I'll come back. Like, picking up her clothes as she goes.
You're laying down. You're fine. You're in the sand. It's just a little water. It's tide. It's fine.
And Brawl's tried to like follow really the dragon. Brawl's like following the other dragonborn with like a big leaf or something, trying to shade them from the sun as they walk towards this other person. It's okay. I have to help.
Like Ava goes back and tries to get like a big bucket of like the water. He's like, no, wait, no, it's just too hot. Stop it. And she runs over in a bit of a mad panic. She's clearly having fun. She's not worried. All right, brilliant. That's where I'm going to leave you for a little bit. Who was next?
The C to the A to the S to the E. Y. That's KC-Y.
I don't know how to spell your name anymore.
Casey's next.
Yeah.
Well, I like that you just take C to the A to the S to the E to the Y. Because I said so, Casey.
Yeah.
What roles are you going by that Casey goes next?
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I just don't want Aethor to cheat the roles.
If Neil had one, should be next because Aethor has
Casey's
two.
Like and flat then it's in the middle.
I switched.
And then it's Arch.
My brain switched everybody. I thought Neil got an 18 and
you're
Arch
trying to get out
one.
Of going.
I don't know what the hell happened.
You're trying to cheat D&D, Aethor?
I've never cheated in my
How
life.
How could you
not
even?
A single
How
time.
Could you?
I've never.
Control, bro.
Shut up. You think you know me? I played homebrew
Do
D&D
roll,
before
bro.
I even
Do
knew
even
what
roll.
A D&D was, motherfucker.
All right, okay. All right. Okay. It's a few hours later when you wake up and the pair of you go off to basically look through all the tomes and all the leaves and all the books and stuff. I'm going to say... Laffian has probably left at this point to do Laffian things because you only need to meditate for 4 hours and Laffian is about to have a bunch of stuff turn up early in the morning. So we can say he's not there. You turn up and he's not there and he's like, surprise, yay, empty room full of books. Demi basically sits down and looks at your manic mess of notes and she basically comments on like it is an absolute shitstorm of stuff here. What have you done? What have you arranged this by?
Okay, so over there are the least burnt pages, which I think belong together. Over here are the most burnt pages and I don't know what order they go into. And also there are two books that are mostly the same but not exactly, and I think they're roughly about the same stuff, and both of them are pretty not burnt, so they're fine. And then everything else in between is a mess.
Okay. I kind of just really healing that everything is here is just a mess. Okay, that's fine. I can work in this kind of chaos. This is absolutely normal. This is good. This is kind of how I end up with stuff anyway. Okay, so I'm going to move this thing here. And she basically begins to reorder the notes. And she's like, you see this kind of like shape here? Like it has like very smooth lines and they're kind of like really like nothing is straight and everything is curved, but it goes into each other really nice where that pointed areas. That's conjuration magic. So all that stuff kind of belongs together. And you see these very straight lines that like intersect one another and nothing like joins up. They're all just straight lines. That's kind of more like destructive magic. And this here, like the mixture of like straight lines and wavy lines, that's kind of alteration magic.
Okay.
And as she begins to rearrange all of these, you begin to like pick up that the book may well have been like magic for people who don't know magic 101. She clearly has a lot more to teach on that. Like these are the basics that you get from the book, but this is more kind of like the subtleties and the nuances in it. And she kind of like separates all the pages out. She kind of talks you through the different schools of magic. And she answers whatever random questions that Squash may have about what is necromancy magic? How does conjuration work? What is abjuration? Like she kind of like explains that very calmly and patiently. You begin to realize that as she's actually beginning to put them into like different orders and stuff, her mannerisms have changed. You notice it becomes she comes much smaller and a little bit more human. And you notice that the glow in her eye tends to disappear from black to mostly just her normal eye color. She's very patiently explaining what each of these things are. She's kind of gone into teacher mode. Mm-hmm. As she kind of like puts all these things into different places. And then she sees what Laffian saw to a degree. she makes like, oh, Laffian mentioned that this is making miniature planes and that this is like possibly a test. And she kind of like listens to that information and nods and completely agrees with Laffian's assessment. Laffian, I would like you to take a point of inspiration, please, because you're 100% on your deductions.
Woo!
Hmm. Man, boy.
Yeah. Like, 100%. This was a test. That's why it needed a stronger thing. And as she goes through it and, like, she does these things and she acknowledges, like, and puts, like, you can begin to see that she's, with her hand movements, like, drawing lines between different things. And as she begins to flick through the pages and talks very much about them, she basically ends up saying... Okay, so the thing is, he didn't really quite understand the concept of our magic. He has a magic all of his own. He's trying to force that into our structure, and that doesn't really work. It needs to like come from us and the magic we have around us. So he may not even be possible of creating a smaller individual plane or for cutting our plane off. But I think if we have access to some very strong magics, or we could bind it to a soul, or could bind it to a very strong object, or we could, you know, just give up to the chaos magic and just like freaking go for it with like testing magic. But I think it is actually entirely possible to create like a small plane, like an individual self-contained plane. How long it will last, I don't know, because it obviously depends on like the magic or whether it's bound to a soul or anything. But you could definitely make a really small individual plane that is separate from everything. And that opens a whole bunch of other ideas. And I think once we do that a few times, we could probably do that permanently, I think.
Okay. Would these new little like planes be like for like what purpose can they serve? For tests? For storage? What are we thinking?
Well, yeah, like storage for sure. Like you could definitely store a lot more things here. And then you can probably, like, depending on the size, you could even store like entire like castles and stuff here. Like you could probably do that, and you could test magics in here, and you could create them as like really good prisons, because unless you're able to already jump through them, like for example, I could put you in one of these like small planes and you wouldn't be able to get out because you don't have the magic to do that. And I adore you to pieces, but I think they're probably
going
to have that magic.
Get me stuck in my own little like squash plane.
Yes. Wash plane. Nope, wait, I have a better idea. We get you stuck in a really tiny little demi plane because I made it. It should be named after the person who does it. Although,
what?
I may not be here to do that. You might be the person that does that, but I still let's call it a demi plane because I think I came up with the idea of how this will be, so I think it should be named after me.
I feel like this should come up to a vote.
Okay, everyone who votes for squash plane.
Squash puts his hand up.
Everyone who votes for demi plane. Demi puts one hand up. You see her eye flash black and put the other hand up.
What?
I think you are overruled.
I think you're cheating, but fine. Demi plane it is.
Okay, great, great. So we create these kind of like really tiny squash planes. So we make really tiny little squash planes, and then we put like a squash in there, and then you can't get out. That's like a prison all of itself. And we could test like really dangerous magics in there, which would be really good because then we're not affecting our own plane. Because sometimes, like, for example, if we wanted to test really dangerous magic, like... sulfur, we could do that in a place that won't affect anyone or anything else. That would be perfect, actually, but we don't have them. We could make small planes. That's definitely doable. I think to stop him from separating our plane, the physical plane, from the rest of them, it's a similar sort of magic, but it's not. And he would have an exceptionally powerful magical item to do that. Like a god. Yeah.
He'd need an entire god.
Yeah, I think so. So I think so long as we stop him from getting to the Sentinel plane, we might be able to stop that.
Can he get to the Sentinel plane? Can he travel between planes like nothing?
Squash, we have to burn all of this.
But there's so much important stuff in
it. No, Squash, we have to burn all of this. If he looks through this, like, it's not obvious to you. I'm sorry, I know you don't really have the magical knowledge, but it is obvious to me, and I've studied this long enough. And if he realizes exactly how his magic is different to ours and how he can do this, he can just look at this and go, this is what I need. We have to burn this. If this is the only books that come from the Ogma library, wherever it is, if we burn these, then he's not going to have access to this.
He already read all of this. This is his stuff.
Yes, it is, but he can't restudy this. It's like me reading a book like 20 years ago and reading it now and realizing, hey, it's important. I will see new things in it because I've learned a new different level of magic. And if he ever figures that out, if he finds these books again, he may be able to figure this out. We have to. Well,
yeah. You're right. Some things are too dangerous to exist. Some knowledge should be kept away. Fine. Let's make a little pyre outside and we can burn this stuff.
I wish I had more time.
Don't we all? It's the one thing we don't have anymore.
No. But I could teach you this if I had more time. But I can't. I don't have more time to teach you this. And you would hold that forever. You would hold this knowledge and it would just be there and someone would have it and we wouldn't lose it. I don't have time to teach you.
Well, maybe later.
Don't. Let's not argue about that again. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's just do the thing.
Squash like goes outside and he makes a little like rock ring and did you say there was like a little like growth area or like anything like that?
Yeah, there's like trees and stuff on this island. Like there's just like behind the huts.
Squash is gonna like pick out any like branches that seem like they would burn like nice and he's just gonna make a little like bonfire in the beach.
No, I think we could probably use that anchor. We could probably stop him going to the Cicero if we have the anchor. Or if we actually managed to get him into the ether, that would work. That would work too.
Do we genuinely think this is his anchor?
She shrugs. As far as I could tell when I was looking at it, I think it might be.
Why would he leave that behind? I don't...
Maybe it's part of a hull? Like, anchors have chains, right?
I think he has more than one?
I don't know. But, you know, Grumsh and some of his other wizard, some of the other magical folks that Grumsh has and Carson are looking into it, so I expect that they'll figure it out soon enough.
If we chuck a stupid anchor in there and we either force him to recall himself to the anchor or we destroy his body and he chooses to go to the anchor or the blissful eclipse, either way, we're rid of him from our world.
I expect that Carson will have more ideas when he's had a real chance to study it. I mean, it's one thing knowing what it is, like how to make it work and how to distract it, are very different things. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And like at this point, like she sits and like, I assume the fire's going off.
Yeah. We're just
chucking. She's happy. It is like ridiculously hot, but she's not worrying too much. She says, so you're going to become like the timekeeper, right?
Yes, yeah. Squash obviously looks awkward and uncomfortable at the subject when she brings it up, but he, like, steadies himself, straightens himself out. If all goes according to the plans we have to follow, one of the things that's going to happen is that I have to take up the position as timekeeper. Why do you ask?
I'm gonna give you a hypothetical situation.
Okay.
Hypothetically, okay. I have a friend. I mean, I literally do have friends, but this is a hypothetical friend. This person isn't real. If I had a way of, let's say my hypothetical friend is about to do something that they really don't want to do, and it's life changing, fate changing. And I had a way of undoing that. Do you think the hypothetical friend would want me to undo it eventually? I mean,
I think at this question, Squash kind of pulls his knees close to his chest. Maybe. Have you, asked him?
No. Not directly.
Maybe he doesn't know that he doesn't want it, or maybe he doesn't feel like he can talk about it, but we do things we don't want to do all the time.
Yeah.
Does your friend have a choice?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's... She smiles as you realize that you've called her out. I don't know, to be honest. I think that... Doing the thing that my friend has to do, I think that he has to
you know, become something it doesn't want to necessarily. And I can undo that, but it might hurt someone else. Someone you don't know. Changing fate, you know. Whether he'd be super mad at me.
Well, I don't know this personal hypothetical friend of yours, but I personally am tired of other people suffering for me. Nobody else should ever be hurt because of my actions. Inaction. Inadequacies, yes, fine. But never again will I make the choice to hurt others. I'm done being greedy and selfish.
Maybe if my friend isn't greedy and selfish, maybe that's exactly why I want to do it. I mean, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Recently.
Maybe this friend of
yours. Stolen or anything.
Maybe this friend of yours is different. Maybe he's a good person that deserves this finally. A tiny little rest from a life of doing good deeds for others.
She looks at you and you can see there's like a swirl of like black and red in her eye. And she kind of like puts her hands like palm up like between the two of you in the sand. She doesn't say anything else.
Squash just gently rests his fingers in the palm of her hand. Demi.
Yeah.
Is Grum's here right now?
He's here. He's always here. I mean, sometimes he's a little bit more present than normal, but he's around a lot. He's here. I can hear him.
Yeah. He's always, always watching.
Yeah. He's always watching and assessing and, you know, he needs to be able to access me whenever he needs to right now for the things that we have to do. Like, I know that when we send you guys off, I'm actually about to go off and find his axe for his granddaughter. So I'm very excited for that. That's a thing we have to go do soon.
Yeah. Not a task for any common orc, I guess.
Well, we're taking his granddaughter, Helsif, with us, and I am very excited. I really like her. She's fun.
Whoa, she's his exact granddaughter?
Yep. Like, you might have noticed, like, she went all, like, she went super badass towards the end of the last fight that we had. There were, like, things pouring out of her mouth, and she was, like, super strong and powerful. That is because, like, she is, like, the descendant of a god, of, like, a literal god.
Oh. Hmm.
Asthma. That's the word I'm looking for. She's an asthma.
A Grumsh asthma, huh?
Yeah. She, like, it's not exactly like she doesn't get on with him. She just, like, disagrees with him on a lot of things, and he kind of, like, secretly respects that and all that he'll ever let me tell her that. But, yeah.
I think that's, like, a, yeah.
Okay. We will leave them there. Zoltana!
Hey, that's who
I am. I'm so stoked for this. Yes. When you wake up, kind of like midday-ish, probably like between like 10 and 11 in the morning, if we give it like a real world equivalency, you kind of get awoken to a prayer. And the prayer goes as follows.
Hello, Zoltana. I'm awfully sorry to bother you, but I was wondering if you could perhaps lend me some aid. Some advice, maybe. You see, I am a performer, an actor of the stage, and alas, Valerian Bandersnatch and I, Dorian Carswell, perhaps you've heard of us? Yes? No? We once accidentally destroyed a theatre by using a real cannon instead of a prop. No? Ah, well, never mind. You see, I am humbly requesting your good favour. You see, our understudies are taking steps to replace us as the stars of the show, Shadows at the Lighthouse. A wonderful new tale based upon the true story. You see, Valerian, Francis and I were playing ourselves in this performance, but our understudies believe that they are better at portraying us than we are and have kicked us out of our own show. I know. the absolute nerve of these upstarts. Look, I know that this isn't perhaps the most important thing in the world, but entertainment, escapism, I really think is needed right now. Perhaps you can help us. Any assistance would be truly appreciated. And of course, we'd credit you in the future as our executive producer? All hail the black and crimson, I suppose.
And that's the prayer you get.
Oh my god. I literally, like, am obsessed with them. And I'm gonna send I'm gonna send back and be like, if you rename your, I will give you help, but you gotta rename your, you gotta rename your company, the Black and Crimson Players. And then...
Yes, I think that we can do that. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for applying. Huge fan, of course.
I want to send them 2 uses of thaumaturgy with the suggestion that they use the booming voice feature to make them think that they are haunted.
All right. Yeah. They accept your direction, good goddess, and yeah, they agree to this heartily, and that's all that you hear from them from now.
Oh my god. I love them.
All right, the Black and Crimson Players. I will put that down. This is not the last you have heard from them.
Good, I fucking hope not. I love them. They better fucking put on a play about all my great deeds. I'm also gonna send them that. Please put on a play about my great deeds.
Could you give us an example? I'm sorry, your gloriness hasn't reached us yet. Of course it will, but like, if you could just give us a head up.
If my gloriness hasn't reached them yet, then why the fuck are they praying to me?
Oh, clearly, we're doing like a thing. We're praying to all of the gods, but you were first on the list. I promise, you're the first one we called. Odette's just shaking her head to the side.
They're making cold calls to all the gods.
Thank you. Hello, that's sir, the word or I was madam. Looking for. To whom it may concern.
Hi, yep. We're calling you about your deity's extended warranty.
I'm sorry. I love the idea of those. That's absolutely what those fuckers would do, though. They would pray to each and every one of the gods in, like, alphabetical order.
Wait, so that means Zoltan is the last one.
Reverse alphabetical order, so Zoltan is first. I love it. I genuinely love it. I'm so happy you are happy with these guys. Oh my god, that's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
No.
I was going to put this in when we recorded last time before you guys actually got to Dayton's lair, but everything was so dark and misty. I'm like, I don't want to put this in. And then we had the beach episode. I'm like, this is the perfect time. Yes to all of this. All right. Okay. Oh my god. Sorry, my chest really hurts. I was laughing so hard. All right. Brilliant. You head on down to the beach. You head on down to the beach with Odette. You see that there are a lot of people down here. You can see that Tuck and Elise and this red dragonborn that you haven't seen before and Raoul and Aemer are all kind of like under one porch talking together. You can see that Aemer has like this big bucket of like cold looking water consistently like splashing everybody with it. Raoul holding like this big leaf like trying to fan their friends down. You can see all that chaos going on. You can see there's a fire off to one side and you can see that like Squash and Demi are sitting there talking. You can see Laffian off to one side doing what Laffian is about to do. I'm so stoked for that. So yeah, you see all of that going on. This is what you see before you when you enter the beach after having ousted your Black and Crimson Players. Is there anything you want to do?
Yeah, I want to see if there's like any beach volleyball going on and I want to crush it on the court. And if there's not, I want to smash the shit out of a watermelon.
Odette smiles when you suggest beach volleyball and she says, I'm not 100% sure I know the rules, but I guess I can look on for the side and cheer for you. Let me find some sticks and then we'll make a quick net. And then we'll get some beach volleyball going. One day. She's like fanning herself with her hands. She goes off and like she builds like this little net and stuff. And she comes over to each person in turn and asks if they want to join like this little volleyball game. For the three of you who are on the opposite side of the table to me, and not Zoltana, do you want to join in beach volleyball?
Yeah.
Yes. I'll show you fuckers how it's done.
We'll put Squash on the
Aima
net.
Aima is 100% in for this. She is like, of course I want to play volleyball. I've never played before. I just hit the ball just away from the floor, right? This is how I play? Great, cut. I love it. The other Dragonborn, like, she politely refuses, but she kind of, like, sits in the shade, like, close enough to you so that she can watch. Elise and Tuck are totally in for this game. Ral, are you in?
It depends. Like, I'll sit in and hang out with the red Dragonborn if they have enough players.
Yeah. All right, we have Elise, Tuck, Aima, Zoltana, Squash, who says he's going to show it, and then Laffian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
We're playing Mario Tennis, but with TLD characters. And it's volleyball instead of tennis.
It literally is nothing like Mario Tennis.
We have to categorize ourselves, though. There's like power characters, control characters, and whatnot.
All right. If you look in the Roll20, there is a handout called Volleyball.
Yes, there is.
Why there's a...
I wrote rules.
I love you. I love you, and you should marry me.
Is this the reason why I went alone to look at potential new work cars? Because you were making up fantasy volleyball rules.
Actually, exactly what happened was I turned to Aith and went, I'm done with prep. And then Midget went, no, I'm not. I need to prepare a volleyball game. That's exactly how I went this morning.
Oh.
All right. Demi decides that she is not joining in because you have basically six people willing to play and she'll go sit in the shade. You can see that she's lifting her hands a little bit and she's basically looking like she's going through, like she's preparing something in her mind. Like she's basically working but still watching what you're doing. She hasn't finished what she's doing per se. All right, so we have Zoltana, Squash, Laffian, we have Aima, Tuck and Elise. Zoltana, this is your idea in your game. Who do you want on your team? I've made this super hard. I'm sorry.
Okay. So there's six of us.
Yes.
So
Adette is going to be the referee.
I'm calling Aima.
Yes.
And I'm calling Squash.
Okay. Zoltana, Squash, and Aima. Not that it really matters, but we just need to have this visual in case anyone wants to draw up. Please draw up. Then we have Elise, Tuck, and Laffian.
Aima is tall and has a prehensile tail, and I feel like Squash is pretty friggin' like dexterous.
He's quick.
Yeah. So that's my strategy.
Okay, that is a good strategy. So this is how volleyball D6 works. There are basically first to 2 points and then you win. You have a pool of 10 D6s and you could spread them across the three different rounds however you like. So you can use 5 D6 in the first round and then have 5 D6 for the last two rounds. Basically, that's kind of how it is. I've put an example in there, which I hope it makes it a little bit clearer. So it's just working out how many D6s you want to roll in each round. And then there are basically three rounds. You only have 10 D6 spread across all of those. Since Zoltana is captain on Team A and Laffian is captain on Team 1, you guys get to do the roles. Basically, as I've put in here, these are the mechanics. You can be descriptive if you want. You could pretend to use magic or side points. I don't give a shit. Just narrate it how you think it looks cool. The rules mean nothing. It's a beach episode. There we go.
I'm going to...
Cool.
Instead of making like a fun song for this, I'm going to make a whole other combat tune for this.
Make the beachiest combat tune you can do.
The beachiest combat tune.
Oh, is it steel drums? I think steel like when yeah. I went to like Discovery Cove, they had steel drums and they were amazing. I love that sound so much. I'm just
imagining like the fucking tune that they play in Avatar when two benders are fighting.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Avatar in...
Please put that on a loop.
...years.
Or we just throw the Haikyuu intro theme in and just call it a day.
All right. Round one. Team A, Team Sultana, how many D6s do you want to use in round one?
What team am I on?
You're on my team.
I feel like we should keep it secret. Keep how many rolls we're doing secret.
I'm on the winner team.
No, Ithel.
So,
I mean, you might be. I'm not discounting.
So, the best way to do like secret rolls but both post at the same time is write out the number and roll 20 and then 3, 2, 1 post.
We just do GM rolls.
You know, I don't care about keeping them secret. I'm gonna start with 3.
Boom! Zoltana deciding the rules. Fuck yeah!
Oh.
All right, Zoltana, roll your 3d6.
12.
Actually, wait a second. Laffian, what are you going to roll?
See, this is the problem with not keeping it secret, because now I'm, like, thinking about it.
But you should be thinking about it.
Stop giving him good advice. He's our opponent.
Yeah, but this is a fun beach episode. There's no opponents. It's just what it is.
That's a lie.
All right, let's go 4. 4 for now.
All right.
Oh, shit. Okay. 17.
Nice. All right, Laffian, describe how your team scores this point.
Okay, all right. So I imagine there's a lot of
basically,
like...
I'm leaving it to the three of you to describe what this game looks like. So yeah, what does your team scoring look like?
So like the game is starting off kind of slow and simple because both teams are trying to feel each other out and see like where their skills lie. And then at one point, I think the ball goes like super high in the air, and Laffian just gets like a mystic hand in that comes and like. Like knocks it down to Tuck, who like fucking spikes that shit, like jumps off of Elisa's shoulders because they do that acrobat shit, and like fucking slams that shit down.
I want to say that it's like completely out of clear air. Like we've been just doing that, like kind of keep up seats, like really high balls for each other, and then just whoop, just fucking smashed into our side. Just like okay.
That is cheating! You clearly use some sort of thought magic. What is this? Wait, Sultana, are we allowed to use magic?
I don't have magic.
You have something, and it is mystical, and I don't like it. I think it's cheating.
You know what?
Beth, can we get it rolling?
I have a magical personality.
All right, that is Laffian, it. We are going to fucking crush them.
Laffian, please never say that ever again. Thanks.
I have a mystical personality, then.
Nope, we're done.
All right.
You know what? If they're going to cheat, we're going to cheat.
All right, then. It's okay. I have a secret plan. She kind of like leans in with you. With
but I'm not going to cheat because I'm just going to use brute fucking strength.
Oh, all right. Okay, we can do that too. Okay. Laffian, since you went second last time round, you have to decide how many dice you want to roll on this round. You have 6 left for the next 2 rounds.
Okay. I'm gonna go all in with 5. Save 1 extra just in case, but fuck it, 5.
Alright, that is a bold maneuver. Zoltana, you have 7 dice left. How many do you want to spend?
I'm also gonna go with 5 because I still have 2 up on him for the third round.
Alright.
I approve.
I
go forth
want
and roll.
To cheat.
You wanna cheat, how?
I wanna... one point where we're like sending the ball over the opening gambit, genuinely the opening gambit of sending the ball over. I wanna, god damn it, Casey, what was that fucking roll?
I Arch's curse, okay?
Ah, you fucker.
I don't know what you want from me. Do whatever you want to do to fucking help us out because we're about to lose and I don't want to lose.
No, okay, so when I send the ball over, just genuinely for the opening gambit, I want to have an enlarge reduce ready and I'm going to enlarge the ball. So they get like a 3 times size the ball on their side.
I'm allowed to run extra d6. Fuck it.
We've already lost if that's all we get.
You can tie.
All right.
You can tie.
Cool.
In the event of a tie, we reroll.
Oh my god.
Hold it!
Yes!
Oh! The ball goes super high in the air. Like, it goes absolutely massive. It goes over the net. Like, Tuck just goes in and just, like, fucking kicks that shit in the air. It goes so high up in the air, and it just kind of gets taken by the wind as you, like, oh, that's out of my spell range. What the fuck? And it shrinks back to spawn and kind of gets floated out to sea. So there's no real, like, huh. Adet just kind of looks at the lot of you and went, I feel like that one is out, but it's nobody's fault. So let's pretend that point didn't happen and let's go again. Go team. And she conjures a new ball from nowhere. So basically, y'all get to roll 5d6s again.
Okay.
All right. Archie, you go first this time.
How could you cheat, Aethor?
No. I feel like...
I literally said in there, I don't give a shit. Cheat how you want. I don't care anymore.
All right, Casey.
I got a 15.
Come on, Casey.
Come on.
Fuck it up.
Come on. All right, come on, baby. Papa needs a new pair of shoes.
Come on.
As Zoltana goes to smash the ball with all of her might, the ball just explodes into like tiny fragments. Adet just looks at all of you, just very subtly shakes her head.
Is there any policies on acts of deity? Rogue acts of gods?
I think... what was it? Acts of gods are outside the rules. The rules do not cover acts of gods, so they are allowed. It's the same with insurances. Just
not covered for that.
Divine intervention.
What
yeah, you're
insurances?
Not
are we supposed to have insurances?
It's a thing that's in all insurances for some fucking reason. We do not cover acts of gods. It's just like
we only ever cover.
You see, like Elise. You see Elise, like, roll her shoulders, and you see her, like, basically just scoot off to one side. She's like, give me a minute. And she comes back, and she's wearing her belly dancing gear. She's like, all right, I feel like this may be our point. I feel like we're going to win this time, okay? No fucking it up. Adet's like, all right, and serve. All right, you guys roll again.
Jesus Christ.
Same, this is same, only trying to five, five. Sick.
Oh, my God.
It's not supposed to be this hard.
Oh, no! Darren. Arch, how dare you do this to me?
Come on, Casey.
Sports.
All right, Nafion. How does your team win?
That can't even be winning. Well, I mean, I guess they do. But whatever. I still want to do that
first
third fucking
points.
Point. I still want to do that third fucking point because I want to crush him once.
That's
all right. Oh. All right, we can do that.
You're gonna like spike it and hit me in the face.
Yeah. Right. No.
No.
You nerd.
Sure the fuck
like,
Tuck
gets stuck around the ball, his arms, his legs around it as it goes backwards. Yeah.
It changes from volleyball to dodgeball.
Roll your one fucking d6 arch.
Okay. Wait, what am I
roll
rolling?
Roll your
puny. How, before you get too far, how do you win this point?
Okay.
Actually, how do you win this point, Lafian?
So, a bit of a throwback, I think. What the fuck is the ability called? I don't even remember. I haven't used it in so long. Strategic mind. Lafian like throws out that aura of command so that like Tuck, Elise, and him are all on like the same page and like they're like just passing it one to the other and then eventually it just gets knocked way up in the air and then just gets slammed right close to the line where it looks like it's about to go out, but it's just inside.
According to volleyball rules, if it hits the line, it's still in. It's only if the whole ball is not touching the line. So yeah, like it smashes down on like the line that has been drawn in like this, like Adet has changed the color of the sand and it, no matter what shifts in and out, is the same thing. And it lands perfect on the line and she's like, score point, Lafian! Yay! And there's eruption of cheers. And then you see just like a lot of people at the side just like shaking their head. The red dragonborn is like politely clapping as they really have no idea what the fuck is going on, what the hell this game is. They just be polite.
Roll your d6. All right.
What am I rolling d6?
I think Lafian maybe team 1 and A team just want to do a final point, right? That's how we do.
Yes.
Hit the ball at me, Lafian.
throw your last pathetic die so I can end this duel.
At this point, you see, like, Tuck and Elise are backing away. Ava's going away as well. And, like, Ava puts her hand on, like, Squash's shoulder, but, like, temporarily, and pulls it away again. It's like, maybe we should back away.
Zoltana, just no bloody vengeance. Regular vengeance. Okay, no bloody. Please.
This is one-on-one fight. This is terrifying.
Hit the ball.
You got a 5.
All right.
Ow.
It is going straight into your fucking face.
That she is mean.
Up, she jumps up. You hit the ball up. She jumps up and spikes it real hard directly into your face.
Hibby, can I cheat?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to do?
Can I summon my fire elemental to intercept the ball?
Don't you fucking dare. That's going to make it worse for you.
You're trying to hit my face.
Just take your fucking lumps.
No. You have like a 20-something in strength. You're going to burn my fucking nose.
You're not doing damage, guys. You're not rolling damage at each other.
Yeah, it's not going to do actual damage. It's just
pride damage. That shit don't come back, but it is pride damage.
I had 50 years of pride damage, thank you.
Who needs the elemental when you have the precious self burn? The ball goes flying over the net and hits Laffian kind of like square in the face. Immediately you feel like this calming presence as Adept runs over. She's kind of smiling and shooting like a thumbs up look over at Zoltano, but she like very quickly heals your face and like the pain just recedes very quickly. And then she stands up and says, I think that's it for volleyball, don't you, Anna? Uh-huh.
Zoltano like just nods, looks at Laffian. Walks over to like where she has put the watermelon, and she just smashes it in half. grabs half, walks over to Laffian and hands him half, and goes, "Good game."
Thanks. I think.
All right, that is a beautiful scene. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming up with that idea.
The fear. The fucking fear in Arch's
fucking ridiculous. I'm so warm. It's fucking hilarious. All right. I guess then it is Laffian.
Hi.
So we're going to roll back in time to before Squash got up. Just a little bit. Come to, and it's fairly early in the morning. You can tell that there's no one around you. There's like a pile of books and debris all over the floor, scatter pillows, you know, that kind of shit. And you notice that looking around, that the rations that you have aren't something happened to them while you were in that kind of like Daechin's lair, and they're all kind of like not great and they're molding through. And you suspect if that's happened to your stuff, it's probably also happened to your companions. What do you want to do?
That's kind of grody. And the sun's, like, just coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, the sun has been up for, like, a couple of hours at this point, and it's, like, it's very warm, but the light is definitely up. When you were interrupted earlier this morning, it was still, like, the sun was coming up at least, so, yeah.
Okay. I think he'll just, like, get up and head outside and, We do kind of need food. That's a problem. You can only eat so many heroes' feasts.
That is true.
I think Laffian's gonna start, like... He's gonna channel his, the nomadic mind focus. And he's gonna just go off to where the woods are and everything and, start gathering some materials and, focus on, like, carpentry skills and, like, woodworking skills.
Okay.
And he's gonna try to fashion himself a fishing rod.
Yeah!
That is absolutely doable. I'm not going to make you make a roll for it because, like, you have time. Like, you literally have, like, between here and the other side of the volleyball fight, you have loads of time. Yeah, you can definitely find something that works as a fishing rod. You can find some, like, the vines and stuff, which are very easy to, like, peel apart. So you have, like, long strands that you can use as, like, fishing line. And you even, like, out in the woods, you'll find, like, these tiny little, like, grubs and stuff that you could use as bait. Yeah, that is absolutely doable. You have fashioned yourself a fishing rod.
He's probably just going to find a nice spot where he can wade out in the water and spend the morning on his own just trying to catch some fish.
In that case, I will make you roll a survival check to see how many fish you get.
Okay. Do I get proficiency with fishing stuff from my focus? I don't know how this works. I don't know how you want to rule this.
Yeah, fuck it. Like, you guys have, like, plenty of time. Like, you're taking it easy. You're fishing, but, yeah, you're taking it easy.
All right.
Fishing is supposed to be calming.
It is calming.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll a perception. It would be the same value. It just...
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
That is a 15.
Roll 3d2s, please.
5 in total.
You come up with 5, like, really big fish. I don't do fish. I don't know what you could fish on, like, the edge of, like, this nice middle of, like, the somewhere in the southern hemisphere of this round globe. You find fish off the coast, and there are 5, like, really big fish. They have lots of different colours on them, like, mostly, like, purples and, like, kind of greens, but the undertone is always grey. They look like big, healthy fish, and so far as you know, you've eaten these before. They're probably edible.
Okay. All right. Then in that case, then he's probably going to try to find somewhere that he can. Actually, yeah, he's going to make a stringer, and he's just going to tie it off somewhere, like, so that they're still in the water, mm-hmm. so that he can use them later to make food.
Yeah, absolutely. You can absolutely do that. Claws kind of, like, pads over partway through the day, and they see that you have a big bunch of fish there, and you just see them slowly, like, sneakily padding out. You can see that Tio is sitting on top of her head as, like, they're slowly, like, padding out into the water, and they keep looking around, like, is anyone seeing me? Sneaky,
claws.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Those are for everybody.
You see, like, Claws lift, like, one of her claws and point at her.
Mua.
You can have one, the smaller one. You don't.
And you see her, like, lunge forward and grab the smallest one. There's, like, as soon as you say, you can, that's it. Like, her teeth are sunk into this, and you see her pull it off. And she kind of, like, bounds across the waves, and, like, you see her settle down and, like, begin to eat this fish. You see Tio just occasionally, like, nipping down, and you see that she kind of gives a very small piece up to Tio, who kind of, like, very quickly nibbles on it and bleh, spits it back out.
Don't even have a stomach.
Gross.
You're the one making an undead stingy fish.
It's cool.
Gross.
It's so what do you do next? What's the next phase in the plan?
Probably once it's, like, a little before midday, he'll start getting to work, so he's gonna switch his focus over to, like, culinarians utensils and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take there's 4 fish left. He's going to take 2 of the fish, and he's going to start having, like, his mystic hand start cutting up and flaying. And in the meantime, yeah. He's getting, like, a smoker set up. So he's getting, like, nice big fire and setting up, like, a stringer above it that he can try to smoke some of the fish so that it's preserved for later. Try to replenish rations.
That's awesome. During part of that, as you're setting all this up, you see that Claws comes padding back over, having, like, been disappeared for a while. You're probably assuming sitting in front of, like, Rao's room again. She comes back, and she has, like, in her mouth this, like, this kind of, like, piece of bark. And you see that Tio also has, like, something even smaller in his mouth that's kind of, like, whitish in color. And they both drop them at your feet. And it becomes very apparent that these are a mixture of spices and herbs that they have, like, foraged for you.
Oh, that's very helpful of you. Thank you. Okay. All right. I can make, you know,
Claws
what?
Just
hold
like
on.
Digs a little hole and, like, settles down. Like, you can see, like, she's been in the water recently, and, like, the sand around her is getting really wet, and it's just, like, dripping into her. She just, like, lays across the ground, just like, I'm done with this.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I can deal with this. This works. Thank you. You know what? Actually, one more ingredient that might help. If you can,
you see them like tip their head up at you.
If you can get me some seaweed, I can do a bit of a seaweed wrap, perhaps. So maybe like a seaweed salad.
You see Claws like stand up and like bound over to the water, and you see Tio just like flying around in circles above, and then you see Tio like dive, and you see Claws go down afterwards, and they come back with like a big amount, like an almost entire like plant of seaweed like inside Claws' mouth.
That will work perfectly, thank you. Yeah, Laffian spends the rest of his time, then he's going to start trying to prepare like a big meal. He's going to get, he's probably going to use some like bigger, some of the big like leaves that are from the trees and the plants, yeah, and like wrap up some of the fish inside of that with like some of that seasoning and everything and try to like rub it onto the meat.
Mm-hmm. I love Tio and I love Claws, but one is dead and one is from the stalking plane. So make sure they brought you things that living things can eat. Just putting that out.
I would assume that was verified.
Yes, I assume with your culinary skills that you are focusing on, yes, you can tell what is poisonous and what is not. They did not bring anything that would kill you, Ral.
I'm pulling on like psionic tendrils of memories of people, yeah, that were like, that's edible, that's not edible, that's good. But he's going to wrap everything in with all like their seasonings and everything, and he's actually going to like put that under the fire so mm-hmm. that it gets kind of like a slow cook.
Nice. And then during the slow cook, that's when beach ball happens.
Yes.
So that we can pass time for your smoking and your cooking.
So he's got strands of the meat up that are being smoked, and then the rest is getting that nice slow cook, yeah, underneath.
All right. So yeah, the meat has been slowly cooked. Are you announcing your serving, or is there something else you want to add to it?
I mean, if there's like some foraging that can be done, if there's any like wild vegetables that might be on the island, like if maybe there's what is it, like wild onions, or I think it's called, or something like that, or...
like wild onions, shallots, and like chives and stuff, yeah, they're just like all over the island. Yeah, absolutely,
he'll definitely mix some of that in as like a bit of garnish, maybe a little bit of flavoring. The garlic especially would be very good. Actually, shallots would be really fucking good with fish.
Yes. Yes, you are able definitely to forage like extra ingredients for the garnish and to add to the fish, for sure.
Maybe a side of potatoes.
Taters. You find sweet potatoes.
Ooh.
Or yams, I think you guys call them.
Both.
Okay.
He'll boil some of those.
They're potatoes that are orange.
Some boiled sweet
potatoes. Will he mash them or stick them in a stew?
Yes. You boil. The key is to boil them and then you mash them. No stew.
Sure.
What?
I've never cooked a sweet potato. I never mash my potatoes before I cook them.
Sweet potatoes are one of those things where you would have to boil it up first, and then you can mash it up because at that point it's nice and soft.
Yeah, they're super starchy when you start.
Normally, you'd mix in like a bit of sugar with it and some brown sugar, a little bit of butter.
Stop it! You're making me hungry.
I'm contrary to what people may think. I know how to cook very well, thank you.
Well, I don't, and I'm hungry now. So,
and also, I'm really disappointed in you.
What?
For not? Did you catch what I was referencing? Because it didn't seem. Like
I missed. What did you say?
You said you're gonna boil them, and then I said, "Are you gonna mash them and stick them in a stew?"
No, I got the reference.
Okay.
If anybody here would get that reference, I would hope that I would.
You played it so straight.
You played it so straight that I was like, what the fuck? I thought that was like one of Arch's favorite movies. Like,
no, it's real life cooking channel now.
No, my assumption is that Neil's gonna cut it out because he has to make himself funny, but not us.
Fuck fantasy. I'm gonna tell you how to make mashed potatoes now. You all ready?
All right. That's enough. I'm done with this. All right. You have prepared a really good fish meal with good aside, like of like sweet potatoes, and you also have like a good garnish to go with your fish. It is enough to feed everyone who wants to eat. There are a couple of that don't. Adet doesn't really eat. Grunch doesn't really eat, but Demi has like a really small amount of it. So you can tell like she's trying to eat and then it gets pushed away pretty quickly. Everyone else, however, just like plows into it. Rena, the red dragonborn, like she eats a lot of it. She seems to be really enjoying it. And then like she'll just go lay in the cold water because it's like, I have to say, guys, it is still a very, very hot day, and this food is going down wonderfully well. Arch, I would like you to roll 2d20, please.
Okay. 2d20. So he's going to roll a 3.
2.
I got 29 in total. I got an 11 and an 18.
Everyone has 29 temporary hit points until sun up on the next day.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Jesus.
Because you've been able to spend a whole day cooking a decent meal. You are also on God Island, where literally all the ingredients are the best ingredients.
Oh, yeah, God Island. Yeah,
I'm starting to think this island is a little bit of a cheat.
I mean, yeah, everything here is exactly as it appears, guys. Like, there's nothing fishy going on. All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
We need someone here that can conjure cod, summon salmon.
Beck and Bass.
Yep.
Alas, he's too busy fighting the skyworms.
Make mackerel.
Oh, make mackerel. That didn't even. I forgot I turned my thing off so I could crunch because I was like really hungry. I was writing it down my extra hit points and I accidentally put a 0 at the end, so it said 280. And I'm just gonna keep that.
No.
Yeah, I have 280.
Casey, do you want more demigorgons? That's how you get more demigorgons. That's like 3. Yeah.
And I have 2 of them, and they'll actually use all the spells they're supposed to.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they had way more spell slots. I just didn't use them. All right. Okay, great. As you guys are eating and enjoying this meal, the sun is like actually slowly beginning to set, and it's still really warm. Rina and Amo go off to one side and they just basically sit in the ocean, just at the very edge of it. They're just talking a little bit. Tuck and Elise just kind of like pair off together and they chat with Adet for a little while. Demi goes over and speaks to them as well. So it's kind of just the 3 of you left around the fire with Claus and Tio. 4 of you left around the fire with Claus and Tio.
This has been the weirdest couple of days I think I've experienced in my entire life.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Who would have imagined that a prince could be such a good chef?
You know, I learned from the best, and what I didn't learn, I borrowed.
Oh, yeah, because your girlfriend's, like, the greatest chef in the world.
I'm inclined to agree, but you know, maybe that should be some sort of entertainment in the future, like the world's greatest chef sort of thing.
Are you saying that we should have a cook-off once all this is done? Because I'll tell you what, I make a real friggin' mean steak.
We can have like the great Bic Run cook-offs.
I'm into that.
Bake-off.
Bake-off, sorry. Yeah, thank you.
No, I don't make pastries.
Or what if we call it the Mithril Chef?
Hmm.
Mithril Chef sounds pretty good. Because, you know, only the best culinary utensils are made with mithril.
Oh, Mithril Chef. I like that.
Oh, I actually do think I stole a Mithril Chef set once. How much should I have pawned that for?
A full set? Probably, that's at least worth probably at least 1,000 to 2,000 gold pieces.
I fucking knew it.
What did you do, like 500?
No, I got like 30.
Oh, you got scammed.
What, are you an idiot?
Guys, yes, I am an idiot.
Wait, who did you sell it to?
I don't remember what his name was, but he ran a pawn shop down in, where was I went back then? It's not where I have my little house.
You probably were in Vanless, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I actually was in Vanless. Thank you.
No, of course it was Vanless.
That is where you have your little hovel.
Is that where I have my hovel?
That's where you hovel.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
I mean, it was either that or you pawned it off in Cusack, and we know what happens there.
No, not in Cusack.
At this moment, all 4 of you just hear this, like, rush of air as if, like, there's a sudden gust coming from, like, nearby to you. And you look across, and you can see that Emil is standing there. With him, there is also Caden and Talus, and there is also Kythea and Bogrim.
Hmm. Way to kill the mood, V.
The hell is he doing here?
Yeah, what is Emil doing here? Fuck off, Emil.
No, we like him.
Oh, sorry. Who are we angry at?
I'm sorry.
We killed Ama.
I'm sorry. I'm being too silly. I'm sorry. I'm in a silly mood now.
Squash has clearly got on like some sort of rush out of the fish that you gave him. Something clearly affects halflings differently to everyone else. It's the garlic.
Sorry. Yeah.
Brogrim just kind of like waves a hand and he just awkwardly just takes a few steps back. And you can see that Emil is kind of like pointing. You notice that Emil is a lot shorter than you remember him to be. His features are also slightly different, as if somebody else is wearing his face. And you see him point in a direction down towards the huts, and he does like talks to the others. And you see Caden and Talis, who both wave, but Talis is also very tired at this point. And Caden just like basically shoos her aloft to like one of these other huts as well.
Hello.
So you're left with Kythia and Emil.
Glad you all could join us.
Hi.
What'd you bring him for?
I don't know, actually. Emil? And Emil says,
he has something that Ama requires.
Do you have what you required?
I do. As much as I hate to admit it, he is actually good at finding strange relics in dangerous places.
Then don't admit it. Deny it until you die in day.
Or undying day.
No one can stop you.
True, but here we are. I have the things we need if we meet Daichin again. According to Grimshin Demetria, there is apparently an alternative idea, but we must wait on Carson for that. For now, I have things to prepare for my ritual this night. Technically two of them. The fish smells amazing.
And he kind of like waves a little bit, nods, and he heads off in the direction towards where Ama is.
All right.
Kythia just walks over and she sits next to Laffian. She kind of picks up a fork and like she helps herself to some of the fish that is around. Who made this?
Laffian has like the most innocent face, just like he's like looking away, not making a face. Just
okay, I read you like a book. She starts to like eat into it and she just like looks up and is like, this is really good.
I'm glad you said it first.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. A few little herb changes is what I do, but this is really good. I mean, considering that you can even make gruel when I first met you.
He smiles.
This is really good.
I learned from the best, and what I didn't learn, I acquired temporarily.
You can see that there's a little flush in her, in the purple in her face. And she kind of like wraps her tail around like your wrist as she's eating. Okay. Catch me up on everything.
Hi, everyone. It's me. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I hope you are enjoying the beach as much as I am. I would like to thank Library Cat for the name Yazarena. Thank you so much. If you would like to visit our website, or if you are looking for one of our resources and would just like a more convenient way to get there, if you go to blighthouse.studio, that's B-L-I-G-H-T house.studio, and click the link for TLD Pod, you can find a link to our website, you can find a link to the iTunes, you can find a link to our Discord server, our Patreon, our Twitter, our Facebook. Any place you can find us, you can find a link from the blighthouse.studio website. From the blighthouse.studio site, you can find links to Counterbalance from Cassie. You can find a link to Four Top Threes, which is another show we've had fun making. So if you are looking for a link to, say, the merch or anything we have going on at the time with social media or exploring to see if there are new shows on the network or anything, you can find all of that information at blighthouse.studio. Again, thank you all so much for listening. We hope that you are enjoying the beach, and I hope that the next episode we spend some more time here, because I kind of like it. So, thank you, and we will see you next episode. Bye!
What happens when you take 5 podcast aficionados and you throw them into a world of mystery and monsters? Well, you cry about it.
She's gonna kind of like walk her feet up the wall and try to push her arms out, like using her leg strength to like push against the wall to break the chains.
Realizing the predicament that he's in, he's just gonna take his hands off and slip the chains off and put them back on.
So he just slams his wrists against the shackles, and then using that little bit of pain, he phases through them.
So can I summon like a hammer and break my chains?
You could, like, you could summon a hammer and break the chains off the wall.
Yes.
I would also like attention.
What you've done is you have falcon punched this guy in the jaw, dislocated it, and set your fist and fragments of his jaw into the other one's eyes, literally killing both of them.
Roll for guilt.
I have no guilt.
I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of life.
Tendrils just come alive, and they stretch out to grab this thing. So it basically, they just snatch it from two legs on each side away from the, I guess you can call them allies, and they just start munching on them.
Free Action Cry is the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition podcast, and you can find it on your podcatcher of choice. Come check us out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.